continuing our sermon series on lesser-known superheroes of the Bible, and today we're looking at the prophet Micaiah. Now, this is different from the prophet Micah, who has his own book of the Bible. The prophet Micaiah had one major incident with the king that we're going to be looking at today. To give you some understanding of the backstory, I want to explain it to you a little bit before Jody is here, right? It's Alan. Jody has grown a beard. All right, so Alan, when Alan reads the scripture, I have asked him, all of our scripture readers, to read this with some drama involved, because this is an interesting story. And in the scripture, there are moments of sarcasm, there are moments of whining, and I've asked them to try and help us hear that. But let me tell you what's going on before this. So in 1 Kings 22, there is a king named King Ahab. Earlier in scripture, scripture had declared about him that he was a king of Israel who was doing more evil than all the kings who went before him. And that's saying a lot. So King Ahab was an evil king. We already know that before we get to this story. And so in verse 1 of this story, there has been a period of 3 years of peace in Israel. There have been no wars. And rather than celebrating the prosperity of this time, we find that King Ahab is deeply unhappy because there's a little corner of land by his kingdom, Ramoth-Gilead, that doesn't belong to him, and he wants it. Now, often in scripture, we'll see God saying, "Go and possess this land. I want you to take it." That is not Ramoth-Gilead. God has not told Ahab to go get this land, but Ahab really, really, really wants it. So one day, he and King Jehoshaphat, he of the jumping fame, jumping Jehoshaphat, are sitting and talking. Jehoshaphat is king of Judah, and Ahab is king of Israel, and they're talking, and they're in a large arena-type space. And Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, "You know, I really want to go to war against Ramoth-Gilead." Now, Jehoshaphat's heart falls because he realizes that they are allies. And not only that, but their children have married each other, which means that if Ahab goes to war, Jehoshaphat realizes that he's stuck going to war too. If Jack Marker decides to go to war, then Steve and Linda Cox are stuck going to war with him also because their children married each other. It's that type of relationship. So be peaceful, y'all. So poor Jehoshaphat doesn't want to do this. And so he says to Ahab, "Well, why don't you inquire of the Lord and see if you can see what the Lord wants to say about this?" So Ahab says, "No problem." He brings into this arena type space where they are 400 prophets. And 400 prophets all stand there and say, "Oh, Ahab, you're so strong and so powerful and you're the king. And so, yes, we know God wants you to go into war." And Ahab thinks that sounds wonderful. Well, Jehoshaphat is still not thrilled. So he says, "Isn't there anyone else you can ask before we go do this?" And this is what happens next. So come on up, Alan, and have some fun telling us this story.
So Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no other prophet of the Lord here of whom we may inquire?" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is still one other by whom we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah, son of Imlah. But I hate him, for he never prophesies anything favorable about me, but only disaster." Jehoshaphat said, "Let the king not say such a thing." Then the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imlah." Now the king of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah were sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. Zedekiah, son of Chenana, made for himself horns of iron and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Arameans until they are destroyed." All the prophets were prophesying the same and saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king." The messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, "Look, The words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your words be like the word of one of them and speak favorably. But Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. When he had come to the king said, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain? He answered, go up and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king. But the king said to him, how many times must I make you swear to me that swear to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then Micaiah said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains, like sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each one go home in peace. Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy anything favorable about me, but only disaster? This is the word of God for the people of God.
Yeah, Alan, thank you. So there was a major company that was looking for a new marketing director, and they had advertised and received many applications. They narrowed it down to the top three. So the first applicant came in for the final interview, and they looked at him and said, what is 2 + 2? And the applicant thought it might be a trick question, but said 4 anyway. And they looked at each other, the partners looked at each other, nodded, thanked him for his time, and he was ushered out. The next person came in. They asked her the same question, what is 2 + 2? Well, wanting to hedge her bets a little bit, she said a number between 3 and 5. Well, they looked at each other and nodded to each other, and she was ushered out. The third and final candidate came in. They said, what is 2 + 2? And without missing a beat, he said, what do you want it to be? He got the job. So today we're looking at Micaiah, who was willing to speak the truth as it was, not what Ahab wanted it to be. I mean, the power differential between the two was great. There was King Ahab and Prophet Micaiah, and so the odds were not in Micaiah's favor at all. And Ahab knows that. I mean, Ahab says he doesn't want to see Micaiah, because Micaiah only says bad stuff about him, the stuff that he doesn't want to hear. And I get that. I really do. Who wants to invite somebody to come speak to you that you know is just going to make you mad? I mean, you don't want to hear them. And we do that. In the Bible, we'll read the parts that we like that speak to where our hearts are, but there are sections that we don't turn to, at least we don't turn to very often. That's one of the reasons why we're looking at lesser-known superheroes of the Bible, to play around some in those areas of Scripture that aren't our normal go-to places. But we self-select what we read in Scripture. We self-select what news channel we watch. And in some way, that affects what we hear, because we hear a bias in the news towards what we already want to hear. And you better believe that it happens on Facebook, too. Did you know, I'm sure you did, Facebook has algorithms. If you push like on a comment, then Facebook thinks to itself, aha, they want to see more from this person. And not only that, but they want to see more people who think like that. So you push like on one comment, and you'll see more comments that are similar. And Facebook will also drop off some of the comments that are different from that. Or if you ever ask to hide a comment, Facebook will then hide future comments along those lines too, which is in some ways healthy for us, so we don't get mad when we're looking at Facebook. But it also means that it reinforces our worldview, because we hear on the news kind of the perspective we want, and we see on Facebook everybody agrees with what we think, and it helps us think that everybody thinks like we do, which can be a problem when everybody doesn't think like we do. It does not make a fertile ground for us to be able to hear differing opinions or understand differing opinions. And if God wants to bring about change in our own life and our own heart, it makes it that much harder, because we have surrounded ourselves virtually with yes men and yes women, and it's harder for us to hear different perspectives. So it's by our very nature that we are prone to pay attention to those things that agree with what we already think and not to pay attention to those things that disagree. As it was for Ahab, it is for us. I don't want to hear Micaiah because every time he talks to me, he says something I don't want to hear. And we're the same way. But Jehoshaphat, who now has a dog in this fight because he is potentially going to have to go to war right alongside Ahab, says, well, ask people. And so they bring in the 400 prophets. And did you hear the part where one of the prophets even made some horns out of iron and put them on his head and said, hey, Ahab, you're going to be like this, like a big bull with these steel horns, and you're going to go gore all those people. And they were dancing around. They were prophesying. They were having fun. They were telling Ahab exactly what he wanted. Until Jehoshaphat said, you know, it may be, Ahab, that the version of truth that you want to hear may not be the version of truth that God wants you to hear. And he says, is there not anyone else that might speak to us about what the Lord has to say? And that's when Ahab says, well, there's Micaiah, but he's just going to make me mad. But they bring in Micaiah. Now, did you catch the part? When the messenger went to go get Micaiah, hey, Micaiah, Ahab wants you. The messenger tried to do Ahab a favor. He said, you know, Ahab, Micaiah, there already are 400 prophets, and Ahab is liking what they have to say. So when you go see the king, take a word from the wise and say what the other 400 are saying. And Micaiah says, well, I'm going to have to say whatever the Lord wants me to say. It would have been easy for Micaiah to be quiet. I mean, the odds were 400 to 1 against him, 400 prophets saying what Ahab wanted, and just one voice, Micaiah, speaking up. It's always easier to go along with the crowd, especially when the odds are 400 to 1. I want to show you a video. It's from Vintage Camera, Candid Camera, back in the days of black and white. In the scene that you're about to see this episode, there it's on an elevator, and there are three people that work for Candid Camera, and there's one person that is the unsuspecting victim. I love that last guy. I mean, he turned all the way around and then some in the process of that video. In their Candid Camera experiments, they ended up finding out that about 90% of the people in the elevator turned around to face the people. Because it's tough not to go along with the crowd. It's tough when everybody's facing one direction to be facing the other direction too. It's tough to not conform. Scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, we must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Martin Luther was a German Catholic monk. And in 1517, he looked around and saw what he believed were abuses within the church, that they were selling indulgences, in essence, selling their way to heaven, buying their way to heaven. And there were other things, there were 95 things in the church that he believed were wrong. And so he nailed those 95 theses on the door and started what we now know of as the Protestant Reformation. That's the reason why we're Protestant and not Catholic, thanks to Martin Luther. Martin Luther was brought to trial for his heresy. Before his trial, a Catholic priest warned him, "The whole world is against you." Not just some, but the whole world is against you. To which Luther responded, "Then I'm against the whole world." So he was brought to trial, and they laid out on a table in front of him all of his writings, those 95 theses, and they demanded him to renounce his heresy. And he replied famously, "Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen. Here I stand. I can do no other." And so Martin Luther was declared guilty of heresy and made an outlaw. What that meant was that German citizens were forbidden to give him food or water, and if they did shoot him, there would be no, or kill him, there was no penalty for killing him. Friends rescued him and hid him in Wartburg Castle for a year, where in privacy he translated the New Testament into German. "Here I stand, I can do no other," he said. Paul said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Paul wrote those words about 2,000 years ago when it was really difficult to be a Christian. You could get killed for being a Christian, and people did. It's really difficult to be a person of faith today, too. In this day and age, it's difficult now. It was difficult a year ago. It was difficult 5 years or 10 years ago or 50 years ago to be a person of faith in this culture and in any culture. In fact, chances are that if you say, you know what, it's really easy for me, there's never a time when I have to disagree with anything or anyone or anything, then you may not be doing it right, because we keep getting called to speak the truth in ways that may not be easy. That's what happened to Micaiah. Ahab did not want to hear from him, yet Micaiah brought what he believed was what God needed him to say, and he did. He spoke up 400-1 odds, and he still did it. So what's the rest of the story of Ahab and Micaiah? I want to fill you in on that. So one of the 400 prophets that Micaiah contradicted got so mad he walked up and he slapped Micaiah on the cheek. Ahab was so mad that he had Micaiah thrown into jail, and as he was being carried off, he said to him, "Micaiah, you are on bread and water rations only until I return safely from battle," because he had prophesied his death. To which Micaiah said, "Well, then I guess I'm going to be hungry for a long time, aren't I?" And so they did go into battle. Hapless Jehoshaphat was dragged into battle along with Ahab. Not only that, but Ahab believed enough of Micaiah's prophecy that he made King Jehoshaphat dress like himself, like he was King Ahab. And then Ahab just put on soldier clothes and tried to fight incognito. Well, it worked for a while. Jehoshaphat, dressed as Ahab, was pursued by the other side until they realized it wasn't him and they left him alone. Meanwhile, Ahab, who was battling incognito, got accidentally struck by an arrow in the one spot where the armor wasn't protecting him, probably right in here. Scripture's not clear whether it was friendly fire or not. So he's bleeding, and so suddenly he wants to drop the incognito stuff. And Ahab says, "Hey, everybody, I'm the king. I have been wounded. You need to get me out of this battle right away." To which the soldiers say, "Look around you. You've gotten us into this war, and there's nowhere safe we can get you. You're on the battlefield." But then, well, have you seen the movie Weekend with Bernie? I just lift that up to you for some reason. His soldier said, "What we can do, Ahab, is there's a chariot, and we can prop you in this chariot while we finish fighting." And so they put Ahab, propped him in the chariot, where he bled to death, still propped in the chariot. They did indeed lose. One of the earlier prophets had prophesied something even worse about Ahab, had prophesied that, "Ahab, you're so bad that the dogs are going to lick up your blood." We're in church, but it is the Halloween season, and I'll just say that when you stand in an enclosed chariot and bleed out, the prophecy was fulfilled. We'll just leave that at that. And Micaiah, what happened to the one who spoke the truth? What happened to the one who said, "In my vision, I see your sheep without a shepherd because they have lost their shepherd in battle"? We don't know. We just don't know. We don't know if he never got released from prison because King Ahab never did come safely back from that battle. We don't know if he ever got to have more than bread and water because Ahab never came back safely from that battle. We just don't know. You see, when you speak the truth, sometimes the ending isn't always as neat and easy as this preacher would like it to be. But the thing I know is that Micaiah spoke the truth because he could do no less. Martin Luther spoke the truth because he could do no less. And we all have a truth that God calls us to speak. Will you pray with me? Oh God, help us to be people of the truth, people of your truth. Help us to speak up when it is the right time, and yes, to remain silent when it's the right time. May we not conform to this world, even though it's so easy to do so, but transform us, O Christ. Transform us into your people, people of your truth. Amen.